When Presbyterian pastor Walter Kim became the first person of color to lead the National Association of Evangelicals, he said he wanted to get beyond the metaphor of culture wars and instead build bridges. But Kim took over the role just last year as we were reaching new heights of political polarization in this country, and being an evangelical was becoming an even more controversial label. Well, now, as Kim enters his second year as the organization's leader, he's been thinking deeply about the path forward for evangelical Christians. And Walter Kim joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
Yes. For the last few years, Christians have increasingly been asking themselves what it means to be an evangelical today. How do you answer that question for yourself?
Tanya, not having grown up in an evangelical tradition, I came to faith in high school. And I recognized within the tradition of evangelicalism a deep commitment to scripture, to personal transformation of Jesus. And those are the elements that drew me to evangelicalism. I need to say that my father was a refugee who escaped communist China and literally crossed a river in a barrel. When my family immigrated to America, Irish Catholic family welcomed us, and we lived with them for many years. A Lutheran pastor helped broker that transition of my parents from Korea to America. So people of faith have been deeply a part of my own family history in terms of welcoming us to America. I think as a person of color, there's a recognition that at the NAE at this particular moment, we need to work out what it means to have that kind of hospitality that can reach across differences that right now seem insurmountable in a time of tremendous polarization, because we recognize that evangelicalism has often been associated with political identity, with certain cultural stands, with a sense of hypocrisy between what the moral witness and character is of evangelicalism versus its statement.
You've been having a lot of conversations about identity and faith. A few facts here. 1 in 3 American evangelicals identify as a person of color, but a lot of emphasis has been put on white evangelicals, in part because of political divisions that were laid bare during the Trump administration. How do you even begin to move beyond the cultural wars, as you call it, and build this bridge that you describe?
I think part of it is recognizing that there's a much richer history than the current narrative is unfolding. You know, the term white evangelical gets a lot of press, and understandably so, given the political dynamics of what we've experienced the last several years. But evangelicalism, as you've noted, is incredibly diverse. One evangelical denomination, the Assemblies of God, is nearing a 50-50 mark, and that is 50% white congregants and 50% congregants and churches of color. And that's a remarkable inflection point that we're facing. But a part of evangelical history should be noted that we as evangelicals have engaged in issues of racial justice and reconciliation at various points. In 1912, the second conference of the NAACP was hosted at Park Street Church, a flagship evangelical church in Boston. I know this because I used to pastor at that church. And the first chartered group of the NAACP, the Boston group, came out of that conference hosted at Park Street Church. So there is a stream of evangelicalism that has been deeply engaged in issues of racial justice and reconciliation.
Have you had a chance to talk with Black and Latinx and Asian evangelicals about the state of the movement right now? And if so, what are they telling you about how they feel? Understanding the context of the past and those instances where there have been racial justice movements.
Yeah, I think these conversations are incredibly painful, and that has to be named. But there's also recognition that oftentimes these conversations have been conducted in a manner that primarily results in assimilation to a dominant white culture. And we're seeing a moment of reckoning in which, what does it look like to not just have a diversity of color sitting in the pews, but a diversity of culture where we engage meaningfully and in solidarity with the vastly different life experiences and expressions of faith. And that's extraordinarily difficult to do. I mean, if we could have solved this problem, it would have been solved already. But one that I think faith is well equipped to address, even if faith hasn't always addressed it well.
Hmm. Matt Lewis with the Daily Beast wrote about how some evangelicals feel like many leaders in the movement have sacrificed their credibility and moral high ground by aligning themselves with former President Donald Trump. What is the temperature like now, post-presidential election, specifically within the National Association of Evangelicals, now that Trump has lost?
We've distinctly not entered into the political dimensions of faith in terms of, you know, endorsements and political statements that would support one candidate or not. We certainly engage in policy issues that pertain to expressions of faith and justice. And so when we talk about evangelicalism, certainly within the NAE, we're already talking about a situation in which there's indeed a variety of expressions politically. I do think in the broader evangelical community, there is a deep soul searching, again, on what is the appropriate use of power and how would a follower of Jesus engage in this pluralistic society in constructive dialogue, even as it seeks to challenge and present a faith perspective.
In your work, what does that deep soul searching look like?
Evangelicals are really good at personal transformation. But what you don't see as often is a real robust understanding of the political and public and social and cultural expression and implication of that faith. And in the absence of that kind of strong public theology, that nature abhors a vacuum. So into that vacuum rushes in all sorts of influences. So part of the discussion that I'm encountering right now is, what does it look like for evangelicalism in this moment to strengthen its notion of public theology, its mentoring of the next generation in the public dimensions of faith, so that we're more informed by scripture than we are informed by our social media feed?
I want to ask you about something else before I let you go. You know, the country is mourning the loss of human life after two mass shootings just days of each other. In Atlanta, specifically, where the shooter killed several Asian women, he described himself as having a sex addiction. And his reasons were as an attempt to rid temptation. And we're learning that he went to a Southern Baptist church, not affiliated with your organization. But there are lots of discussions right now about the ways conservative Christian churches preach a kind of purity culture that can cause deep shame and guilt around sexual desire. Is this something that you're thinking about? And if so, how are you advising church leaders to take on this subject?
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly, in scripture, there's a very strong emphasis on sexual purity, and we want to maintain that. But there's also a very strong emphasis on grace and the power of redemption that recognizes honest conversation and struggle. So what we don't want to do is marginalize people as they are struggling with all sorts of issues. We want to be, the church needs to be a hospital, a spiritual hospital that engages those who struggle with deep conversation and support. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, the motives of an individual are notoriously difficult to ascertain. So honestly, the primary issue that is striking me and many is, how does this connect with the continued racial issues that face our country? Certainly the purity issues are there in the background with this issue as it's continued to be explored. But again, the problems are too complex to isolate to one simple issue. And it's going to require us to engage and navigate this complexity with a measure of grace and clarity that's often not demonstrated now.
That's Walter Kim, president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Tanya.